This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:18 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiaoning. In about half an hour, we're going to review developments in Malaysia's fintech landscape and some key trends to watch. But in the meantime, we're looking at legal protections for forests. On Monday, Parliament unanimously passed amendments to the National Forestry Act, which enhanced protections for permanent forest reserves in the country.
Now, under these amendments, state governments will be required to conduct a public inquiry prior to exercising any part of a permanent forest reserve. States must also identify another parcel of land in similar size to replace the reserve that was degazetted. In addition, the amendments also increase penalties for littering, and illegally taking forest produce from permanent reserves.
However, given that forests and land matters come under state jurisdiction, how effective can federal amendments be in conserving green spaces? For reactions to the amended law, we have on the line with us Meenakshi Raman, president of Sahabat Alam Malaysia and a public interest environmental lawyer. Meena, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, back in March, when the amendment bill was first tabled, Sahabat Alam Malaysia came out to support these changes. Let's take some of them in turn. The new law makes it harder for states to degazette permanent forest reserves. How does this differ from the previous legislation?
Good morning. Yeah, the previous legislation did not have a provision for any public inquiry, except for the state of Selangor, which had such a provision. So what states could do is, behind closed doors, they could take or remove any permanent reserve forest for purposes that are allowed. So there was no such provision for an inquiry. So we are very happy that this time around such a provision exists. But our only concern right now is to ensure that the process for the public inquiry is actually meaningful. Mm. It's not just mere tokenism. But first of all, we have to remember that even if the amendments have been passed, the states have to adopt them. So only when the states adopt them will they become law in the respective states. So we do hope that the states will do that. So the public inquiry is really important, and for transparency, good governance, and decision making, which are not, sometimes conflicted with all kinds of other decisions, conflict of interest, perception of corruption, and so on. So we hope that that will go away.
Mm. You mentioned, Meena, that Selangor was the only state that actually had any public inquiry requirements. But at the same time, they have also been in the center of a lot of controversies regarding degazettement of forests, even though they had it, right? So I guess moving forward, what are the challenges to implementation that you foresee? You know, are state governments bound to enact these into their state legislations? And how can we ensure that if they do, that these will actually be enforced in a way that is effective?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, state must do this. And apparently these amendments came into effect following the consultations under the National Land Council, which involved all the Menteri Besars and so on, and chief ministers. Mm. So there's no reason why the state should not do this. In fact, we should pressure them to ensure that they move faster. But in relation to the provision now to elaborate on the inquiry process, this is where many of us will have to begin to demand that, as I said, that the inquiry process is actually public and it is meaningful. Now, the Selangor version of that we had under the previous controversy, the inquiry was really very token. It wasn't really one that would be judged in terms of a high benchmark for transparency. So this is another aspect that we now will have to ensure that the federal government and the states will actually have a proper inquiry mechanism. Of course, at the same time, this public inquiry will also have to ensure that the states make public what they want to, what other alternative forests there will be, which has to be constituted, because that's the other condition that the new amendments provide, that they must have an alternative land which is similar in size or larger in size to replace the permanent reserve forest. Mm. But first of all, the reason for the degazetting, I think, is very vital. So this is why the public inquiry process is where the implementation challenge will be, And of course, many of us, including the NGOs and you know, other public interest groups, must demand that they are effective.
Okay, and one of the mechanisms that have been lauded by environmentalists is the ecological fiscal transfer that would actually provide states with the funds to conserve forests. Do you think this ETF policy can be better implemented? Do the amendments actually address this mechanism?
Well, at the moment, the new law actually provides, the existing law already has what's called Forest Development Fund. What they have done in the amendment is to add another purpose for of the fund, which is for the sustainable management of forests. And this comes from the ecological transfer, the ETF, the ecological fiscal transfer mechanism. Mm. But from the announcement that we heard, the existing 70 million ringgit has been increased to 100 million ringgit. This is very little, actually, from our standpoint. Mm. And this is why Sabah Dalam Malaysia has been constantly calling for the government to tap into international funds for forest protection under the current climate change funds or biodiversity funds. There are available. These are available, but Malaysia has not been tapping into these international funds effectively. Because as you know, I mean, with the current crisis that's ongoing with our budget and economic recovery and inflation and so on, the demand for more money for climate protection, which includes forest protection, really requires international funding.
Right. So I guess the government, I hope is that the government will be more creative, more innovative in seeking out sources of funding where available if they're serious about forest conservation and the climate change efforts. Another part of the law that was amended was regarding stricter penalties for forestry offences. Do you think that these higher penalties will be sufficient to deter illegal forestry activity?
Well, as usual, the penalties may be higher, but the issue really is one of monitoring and enforcement, right? The point is our machinery for enforcement has to be much more effective. And monitoring, if state agencies do not monitor, then we have trouble. So I would actually stress that we have to beef up those capacities, including with the use of technologies. Because you've got to go deep into the remote areas of the forest, you've got to ensure that culprits are caught. Mm. And so all this is important, but also important is the courts, because we may have high penalties in the law, but if the courts do not impose high penalties that the law provides, then again, you can have culprits getting away with literally anything. Mm. So the education of the justice the judiciary is also very, very vital for environmental crimes.
Okay, I want to ask about the Baling floods, actually, because we're seeing headlines in the newspapers. Now, the government, Kedah government, has acknowledged a burst reservoir in a durian plantation at Gunung Inas as the cause of this disaster. Now, what steps do you think the state government should take to prevent a repeat of a situation like this?
Actually, SAM, along with 35 other civil society organizations, we've actually called for a Royal Commission of Inquiry or even a state-level Commission of Inquiry, because all these reasons which are being, given piecemeal, in a piecemeal way, we are not convinced that we are seeing the whole picture. Now we also have learned that there is not just one reservoir, there are other reservoirs up there in the durian plantation. It took a long while before the state government admitted that was a durian plantation. Before that, it was as if it was an act of God with increased rainfall and so on. So only through a real commission of inquiry, which is public, which is transparent, which is accountable, will ensure that we see the whole picture, and we have to take the necessary actions. Government agencies which are negligent, or those who were involved in wrong decision making. For instance, what's the state of the durian plantation now? Mm. How are the rehabilitation measures going to happen? How did they, were they allowed to plant in an area which is 25 degrees slope? Very steep slopes. These are environmentally sensitive areas. So these issues are very, very critical. And the community in the village there, the villages there, do not have access to water. And their entire community water system has been disrupted. Who's going to rehabilitate that? Mm. How do you ensure the repeat doesn't happen? Has to be via a very transparent process. We understand that there's a particular investigation that's going to be undertaken under the Secretary of the Malaysian government with the KETSA, the Ministry of Natural Resources, undertaking this. But this is not public again. It is agencies which will reveal reports. Of course, they can make the findings public. But what we are asking is more than that.
Right.
For the public to actually take part in these proceedings, like we have done in other public inquiries before.
Mina, thank you very much for speaking with us. That was Meenakshi Rahman, President of Sahabat Alam Malaysia. And apologies there if you had some distortion in your sound quality. We'll definitely get that checked out in technically on our end. But I think Mina made some very important points regarding what needs to be done in order for our permanent forest reserves to be managed much more effectively. Transparency, that was one key thing that she stressed. There needs to be more transparency. State governments need to be more forthcoming. And I think that's a really important point.
The other important point is, okay, fine, we've got the act going. What is enforcement going to be like? Is anybody going to be brought to task if they break the law? Or as usual, things just, you know, get forgotten and then we move on. Those are the questions that I have, especially since we are seeing a lot more of these issues where, you know, there's permanent damage to our green lungs.
Resources to the authorities to equip them with the right personnel, the right skills, the right equipment in order to carry out these enforcement measures is really important. So hopefully that this isn't just a paper improvement. Mm. We'll actually see tangible action on the ground in regard to this. It's 7:29 in the morning. We're heading into the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. We'll come back with a look at what's the link between climate change impact and weather patterns. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.